From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Savior's name. I'm glad you're joining with us for our Let the Bible Speak program today, and I trust that if you're listening in as someone who's saved and knows the Lord, that the Word of God as it's preached will be a rich blessing to your heart. If you're listening in unsaved, without Christ, then it's my prayer that today you will come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. Letting the Bible Speak is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's drawing some lessons from the rainbow round about the throne. That in just a few moments after we hear this message in song, There's a Land That Is Fairer Than Day. Have you ever wondered what heaven will be like? I have, and I'm glad that I can turn to the Word of God and find out some things about it. Good morning, I'm Ian Brown, and it's good to have your company this Wednesday morning as we turn again to the Bible and allow it to speak directly to our hearts. Before we begin the message, let's look at a few verses in the book of Revelation, the 4th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. When the Apostle John was allowed to look into heaven, he was staggered when he saw one of the most wonderful symbols of God's greatness in the centre of that glorious place. Revelation 4 in verse 3 tells us about it. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. That rainbow around the throne expressed one of the greatest truths in Holy Scripture. The rainbow and the throne are two polar opposites, and yet they belong to each other, and it's most appropriate that they should be seen together in heaven. You remember how the rainbow was placed in the clouds after the great flood of Noah's day as the sign of God's covenant with man, an assurance that he would never repeat that global catastrophe. The rainbow tells us that God doesn't forget his promises, that he is the unchanging friend and the consolation of his people. The rainbow speaks of grace. The throne is the symbol or the seat of divine authority, where God rules in righteousness and truth. It speaks to us of government. Now, when we put these two great symbols together, the rainbow around the throne, you have a tremendous picture of God's dealings with men. He governs us, but in his government of the world, there is the evidence of grace at every turn. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like onto an emerald. That picture reminds me, first of all, that the mercy of God always overshadows his judgments. The Old Testament writers recorded several outstanding acts of severe judgment. And yet when you study those acts of judgment closely, you'll discover that you can trace the presence of the rainbow round about the throne on every occasion. In other words, the judgment coming from the throne is always tempered with mercy. I think of the great flood of Noah's time, but it only came after a long period of earnest preaching, when Noah warned his fellow men of the disaster that was coming. And even after Noah and his family had entered the ark, the Lord still waited 7 days before the rains were allowed to fall. Before the destruction of the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent his angels to Sodom to get Lot and at least part of his family away from the danger zone. The judgment which fell at midnight on the firstborn in the land of Egypt was preceded by the warnings of God given repeatedly to Pharaoh. And even on that night of doom, a way of escape was provided for all who were sheltering behind the blood of the Lamb sprinkled on the doorposts of their houses. The destruction of the Canaanites revealed that a way of escape had been provided for even the greatest sinner. Rahab placed a scarlet thread in her window, and that resulted in the salvation of all the members of her house. God's judgments may seem severe, but keen eyes will always detect the rainbow circling around the throne. Samuel Rutherford did. He, great Scottish covenanting preacher that he was imprisoned for years on the Bass Rock for his loyalty to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet as Rutherford looked back over his life, he summed it all up like this: with mercy and with judgment. My web of time he wove, and I, the Jew of sorrows, were lustred with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Samuel Rutherford knew that there were harsh things that happened in life, but those harsh events are always tempered with fresh supplies of the mercy of God. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight, like onto an emerald. The mercy of God always overshadows his judgments. There's something else that this rainbow-circled throne leads me to think about. And that is this. The mercy of God is exquisite in its beauty. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3 tells us that this rainbow round about the throne was in sight like unto an emerald. As far as John was concerned, though he didn't quite have the advantage we have of standing on the Emerald Isle, he was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos, that emerald rainbow must have been an impressive sight. The word carries the idea of sparkling. Green is the emblem of immutability, unchangeableness. This emerald was apparently a very hard, bright, velvety green stone, and one that was highly prized by the ancients. For many generations, emerald was the imperial colour of eastern courts and palaces. Try to picture the scene that God's man John was faced with, as the light of the glory of God played on the sombre clouds of justice, the sign of the mercy of God shone forth in scintillating beauty. That emerald rainbow was a jewel of the skies. The mercy of God is the most wonderful thing in the world. It's undisguised. A rainbow can't be hidden unless you can get around to extinguishing the sun. No man can hide the mercy of God unless he's able to remove the Lord Jesus. The sheer fact that you and I are alive today and I can speak to you over the radio and you can listen, in spite of our many sins, that's an evidence of the mercy of God. Mercy is evident in all of God's dealings with man. As well as being undisguised, it's undeserved. The second reference in the Bible to a rainbow is found in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28. There the sign of God's mercy appears in the middle of Babylonian idolatry. It was a display of mercy that was so undeserved. That's what makes Calvary so wonderful, so resplendent, so breathtaking. The hymn writer said about Jesus on the cross, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free." That rainbow, it seems to reach to the heavens, it seems to unite heaven and earth. And what's that but a glorious picture of the salvation through Jesus Christ, which has brought guilty man into a reconciled state with a just and holy God. Through the cross, heaven has reached down and touched earth. So this picture of the rainbow around the throne, we can't have a more majestic picture when we're talking about Calvary than that. In the death of Jesus, God's sinless one, the throne of authority and righteousness is revealed as punishment is poured out upon the head of Jesus because of our sin. But the rainbow encircled the head of the suffering Son of God, and there, as a result of the work Jesus did for us, mercy is able to flow to you and I when we seek Christ as sinners. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. It's undisguised, it's undeserved, it's unequalled. There's never been a substitute for a rainbow. And there's no substitute for the mercy of God. Nothing else can bring a man to heaven. Man has no merit in and of himself that would allow him to get there. He can only get to heaven through the mercy of God. I wonder today, as you listen to this message, are you trusting in God's mercy? Or are you relying upon some merit that you think you have? The final mention of a rainbow in the Bible is arguably the greatest of all. You'll find in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, we learn there that the mercy of God is still extended to man. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. This last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, has many things to say about the return of Christ, and the setting up of his everlasting kingdom. That glorious time will bring either supreme happiness or eternal sorrow to mankind. It's significant that before that time, the angel with the rainbow was sent out to stir up a preacher to make known the message of God's little book. In other words, at that time, leading up to when Christ returns, the mercy of God is still being extended to man. God still wants to welcome additional guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, and every preacher who has first eaten the little book, who has got to know the message of God through the Bible, will be crying aloud to the nations, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He'll be getting the message of the glorious news of the gospel out to men and women. What's your response to the gospel message today? What have you done with the mercy that God is extending to you? I pray that you'll trust only in Christ's work on Calvary to bring mercy and ultimately heaven to your soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.